Learn how Azure enables you to use the Force to set up disaster recovery easily for your Azure SQL databases. Learn more in this special MVP edition episode of Data Exposed. Hi, I'm Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed MVP Edition. Today, we have a very special guest and a special episode because we are here recording on May 4th. Today, I have John Morehouse with me. John, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Hi, Princess Anna. I am Obi-Wan Janobi. I am a MVP data platform with Microsoft. I currently work for an organization called Denny Cherry & Associates. And we do a lot of things in Azure and database automation and performance tuning, and pretty much anything SQL Server related.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we are excited to have a real live Jedi here with us. I can't say we've ever had one on the show before. So it's very exciting. And today, you know, we're going to be talking about disaster recovery. So I think this is a very common topic, especially when people move to Azure SQL Database. They often wonder, you know, as a starting point, kind of what's happening to my backup. So I know you're going to talk to us a lot about some of the different things, but I'd love if you could start by telling us a little bit more about backups in Azure SQL Database.
Sure, you bet. One of the things that I really love about the Azure platform is, as a DBA, I'm always concerned about, and it's probably one of my top concerns, is how do I recover from a disaster to ensure that my data is safe and sound, and I keep it away from the empire. So with the Azure platform, we actually have a couple different things available to us. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is backups. And so as you can see on my screen, I've actually got some servers set up. And we are really concerned about and focused on that Rebel Alliance server here. So if we drill into that, we can actually see, once the portal comes back, I've got a couple databases that we are concerned about. First and primary, we want to be concerned about our bases. We really don't want our bases database to fall in the hands of the empire, because then all of our bases will belong to the empire. So we want to make sure that we can recover if we need to. And the first thing is using backups. That's the tried and true methodology for a lot of DBAs. And the Azure platform takes care of that for us automatically. So if you create a new database within the platform, it automatically does backups for us, and then we can restore those backups. So because the backups are at the server level, we actually have to go look at the server. And if we scroll down here in the control plane in this blade, we can actually see a backups under data management. We can actually drill into here. And one of the cool things about the platform is, if we look at the retention policies, by default, out of the gate, you get 7 days of point-in-time restores for your databases. Just like on-premises installations of SQL Server, where you can restore using the full recovery model, you can restore to a point in time. Microsoft gives us those 7 days absolutely for free, along with the database. Now, we can change that. We can actually drill in and say, you know what, I want to be able to restore to a point in time further back than 7 days. If we drill into this retention, we can actually adjust our point in time up to 35 days. Now, if we adjust it up to 35 days beyond that 7, we have to pay for it, but we can facilitate that and ensure that we can restore our bases database, just in case the empire does get a hold of it, we can back it up and restore it somewhere. We can also do long-term retention if we wanted to. Again, this is an additional cost to the Rebel Alliance, but we can say, hey, we want to keep our weekly backups for a certain period of time, up to 10 years. So, and weekly backups with the Azure platform only happens about once a week. And so we can say, let's keep that weekly full backup for all the weeks up to 10 years. So that's the first thing.
Okay, cool. And this seems pretty easy to set up, so it's nice. And then it's just kind of taken care of by the platform, which is also really nice. Now, there are some other things that people might consider, you know, outside of just backups when it comes to protecting the Rebel Alliance, right?
Yep. Yeah, and so there are, as much as I love backups, and I absolutely love that the platform takes care of the backups for us, restoring the database, especially if it's a large database, can be cumbersome. So there are some other options that we have available to us that are super easy to set up, just like with the backup retention policies. We can set these things up pretty easily, and there's two of them. And the first one we're going to talk about is active geo-replication, and then the second will be auto failover groups. So if we look at the database, and remember that the backups are configured at the server. And some of these geo-replication and failover groups also have different contexts. If we look at the databases themselves, and I'm just going to move away from the backup policies because I'm okay with 7 days. If I look at the bases database, on the left-hand side in the blade, if I scroll down, we'll see a geo-replication option. And basically what this is the nuts and bolts of it under the hood is basically like an availability group. So we can actually stand up a readable secondary somewhere else in a different region, or even within the same region of that primary database. So we can see here that right now, my bases database, the primary is located in the East US 2. I currently don't have geo replications configured. So let's go ahead and configure that. I do already have an additional server configured. And if we look in my list of servers, we can see that I've actually got a Rebel Alliance DR. It's located in the West US 2. So basically I would replicate the database all the way from the East Coast, all the way to the West Coast of the United States to ensure that just in case the Empire gets a hold of my database, I can fail over to that West Coast secondary and bring things back online pretty quickly with this service. So let's go back to the database. And this is another feature of the platform that I absolutely love because it's clickable. As a DBA, I don't have to understand clustering or how to fully understand how to set up availability groups. I can just point and click and get my database having a DR strategy and solution really, really quickly with just clicking through. So we go here, the database is paused, it'll come online. And so we said that secondary server was in West US 2. So I'm going to go ahead and select my West US 2. It's going to come up with my information already pre-defaulted. It already picked the server for me, so it knows that I'm going to put that database there. And it's already configured the compute and storage for me. You can change that if you wish. I'm going ahead and click review and create. And so we can see that the deployment has been initialized. And so what it's doing right now is just like if you are familiar with availability groups with on-premises or Azure VMs with SQL Server installed, it's actually doing a seeding of my new database in the new region in West US 2. So as we can see, the deployment is in progress. If I come back to the blade, let me find my database. Go down here to geo replication. And we can see here that it is indeed seeding the database. So at first it's resuming the database because it was paused. It was in the serverless tier. So it's bringing the database online. And so now that it's online, it's going to start seeding that database in the secondary. So it's going to create the database on that server, and it's going to take a schema copy and all the data and send it over to that secondary. So again, it's very much like availability groups under the hood. But then eventually this will come online. It's going to take a second. So, but think about as a DBA, as you're going through this process and we're waiting for this thing to seed, how easy it is to configure it, right? So now I have a solid disaster recovery solution for my Azure SQL database located in a completely different region within the United States. If you're old like me, you remember back in the day when trying to do disaster recovery, especially over a long distance, was a complete pain in the butt. Lots of hardware, you had to go rent circuits, you had to get a data center. It was just a complete nightmare to stand up disaster recovery in another geographical location. Azure gives us this ability really, really easily.
Now, not only that, John, but what if, I see there are other target regions here. Like, is it possible for me to put this database to use geo-replication in a bunch of different regions, or am I only limited to one and can I use them all for read access?
So that is an outstanding question. And the answer to that is yes. With active geo replication, you can put up to four readable secondaries from the one primary in multiple regions. You can even put a readable secondary within that same region. So let's say you had a workload that wanted to offload that workload to a read-only copy, but you wanted it to be centrally located to where your users are, your applications reside. You can put a readable copy of that database within the same region. Now, another thing you can do is you can actually daisy chain the databases, so you can make geo-replicated copies of the geo-replicated copies. So you can kind of daisy chain them along. You get a performance issue, as you know, the more chains you got, the longer it's going to take for the data to catch up, but you can do that. And so now we can see that the database is online, the secondary is online, and it is readable. So if we had read-only workloads that we wanted to move to that secondary, we could. We can also, if we go a step further and use failover groups, we can now fail over that database if we wanted to that secondary. So let's go take a look at failover groups. Now, failover groups, as I mentioned before, is at the server level. So again, think of it just like an availability group that you might have with on-premises or a SQL Server on an Azure virtual machine. But if we scroll down into data management, we can see we have an option of failover groups. So in this blade, we'll go ahead and create a failover group. And so we're going to go ahead and call this failover group. They say don't ever type in a video, but we're going to do it anyways. I misspelled it. I did misspell it. And then the server we're going to select as our DR server. We're going to leave the read-write policy, failover policy, as automatic and the read-write grace period for 1 hour. And let me explain those really quick. The read-write policy, the Azure service itself can initiate a failover if there's a problem with the infrastructure behind the scenes. So the service can automatically say, we're going to failover, and it'll do it automatically. The grace period is because of the nature of failover groups, by default, the traffic is asynchronous commits. And so there is a grace period of a minimum of 1 hour to allow any traffic in flight to get committed to the secondary before the service actually fails it over. You can force that failover, but you might get data loss. So I recommend that you leave that the same. We want to make sure that our base's database and traffic gets securely committed to the secondary. So I'm going to go ahead and configure some databases. In the failover group, I can add multiple databases if you want to fail all the databases over in one big thing. Or you can do failover groups for individual databases if you want granular control as to what's failing over and what's not. So in this case, I'm just going to add the bases database into the failover group and select. And then we're going to create it. And so what this is going to do is one of the cool things about failover groups is that you'll actually get a read-write endpoint and a read-only endpoint. And so you can actually configure the Rebel Alliance, we can configure our empire fighting applications to use the appropriate endpoint for whatever we need it to do. And so we can see here that the failover group has already been created. Our primary server is Rebel Alliance and the other one is Rebel Alliance-DR. And so here we can see that the failover group has successfully come online. And so we've got a really nice topology map that we can see that we're replicating data from the blue checkbox to the green. The blue is my primary here in the East US2 on the eastern coast of the United States. And data is being automatically replicated all the way to the West Coast and West US2 in the green dot. If we scroll down, we can see what roles we're in for each server and each database, what our read-write policy is and what our grace period is. The cool thing is we can actually do this read-write listener endpoints and read-only listener endpoints. And so we had talked about, or I had mentioned, I think, if our Rebel Alliance apps wanted to automatically be routed to the right location, meaning I want to write data, so I need to go talk to the primary in the East Coast, I can use that endpoint. And if I were to do a failover, that endpoint actually just does basically a DNS change behind the scenes, and we don't have to change our Rebel Alliance applications to make any of those changes. So we can actually do a failover real quick, and if I were to just click failover, this will actually switch the primary and secondaries. We can see that the map changes, and we're now replicating data. You can see that the traffic is actually going the other direction from the green dot to the blue dot. And this failover right now, and again, think about availability groups under the hood, we're just doing a failover. And so the service is doing all this work for us. As a DBA, these types of technology is, in my opinion, glorious for DBA to ensure that our databases are safe and we have a disaster recovery scenario in case the empire gets our bases. And so now we can see that the blue dot and the green dot have switched sides. And now our blue dot is the primary. We scroll down, we can see that, yep, the Rebel Alliance-DR server is now primary in this role, and we have successfully created a disaster recovery solution with just clicks of a mouse. No coding, no nothing. There is additional cost in this, of course, right? But very easy to configure.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think that's one of the really cool things about failover groups is that, you know, when this failover happens, we already have these endpoints available to you. So you don't have to change any connection strings. So that can be really nice in DR scenarios as well. You know, as we wrap up this demo, John, I'd love to hear, like, if you have any tips and tricks to, you know, young future Jedis on how they should think about DR with Azure SQL Database.
So one of the primary things I want the younger Jedis, the Padawans, to make sure that they understand is even with moving to the cloud, and whether it's Azure or any other cloud, I'm a huge Azure fan, we have to think about disaster recovery. Things do happen. In the industry, sometimes we call it a rabid backhoe, where a backhoe cuts the wrong fiber cable to a data center. Things just happen. You know, if you live on the West Coast, you deal with earthquakes. On the East Coast, it's hurricanes. And so we have to make sure that our data is protected, even in the cloud, even with a service that has high SLAs and it's robust infrastructure and architecture, we still have to plan for it. And doing things like this is one of the top things I tell people.
Thanks so much, John. I think that's a great tip. And this video has been really useful and fun for learning about disaster recovery options in Azure SQL Database. We'll throw some links in the description if you want to learn more about what we talked about today. We'd love to see your comments, like, subscribe to our channel to learn more. And we hope to see you next time on Data Exposed.
May the 4th be with you.